Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast here on BuffaloRumblings.com, SoundCloud.com, and everywhere else you go to find your podcasts. We are so thrilled that you took time today to stop by our podcast and listen to our latest musings on the Buffalo Bills. My name is John Boccacino, the longtime host of this podcast. We've been going since April of 2018. In fact, this is officially our 80th Believe podcast, and thank you for sticking around and making this something that hopefully Bills fans look forward to on a weekly basis during the off season. If you are looking to get involved with our podcast and share some thoughts on any of the topics that are covered today, or if you have a topic for a future podcast, you can do it in several fashions. You can either leave a comment on our story on BuffaloRumblings.com, or you can find us on social media. Buffalo Rumblings is at Buff Rumblings. Or myself, John Boccacino. I am at John, J-O-H-N, Boccacino, B-O-C-C-A-C-I-N-O. We would love to get your feedback on any of the topics that we discussed today or any possible future topics for a Believe podcast here. This is still sort of the slow time of the off season, although to let Bills fans know what is on the docket for the podcast today, we are on the precipice of starting mandatory minicamp for the Buffalo Bills. That will be June 11th to the 13th. We are recording this early in the week on Monday, and by the time the podcast posts, that will give you one full day before mandatory minicamp takes over, starting Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. This is basically phase three of the offseason programming that all the teams have across the league. Phase one was the rookie minicamp held back in the middle of May, where the eight draft picks and the undrafted rookie free agents got a chance to get their first real on-field experience for the Buffalo Bills. Of course, no pads and no real hard contact hitting was allowed during those, but it was a chance to make an impression for guys like Ed Oliver, Cody Ford, Devin Singletary. And after the rookie minicamp, the Bills hosted their organized team activities, which were held the third and the fourth weeks of May, and also the first week of June. These were voluntary spring practices. They're up to 10 OTA activities that the Bills can have during the three-week window. There's on-field non-contact team drills that are taking place, including 7-on-7, 9-on-9, and 11-on-11 drills. Now, what's key about mandatory minicamp coming up, besides the fact that it is mandatory, meaning all players are required to be present for the 3 days, it's phase three of the offseason program, and it really is the last program in place before training camp at St. John Fisher takes place in late July. So we are very excited that the Bills will have their mandatory minicamp sessions coming up. It's one step closer to the 2019 regular season, and we at the Believe podcast are quite excited to get to follow along and see what the Bills are going to be up to here in 2019 after their flurry of moves during the offseason, their moves to address the offense, to bolster the offensive line, to add an underrated return specialist in Andre Roberts, who is a gangbusters kickoff and punt returner, to shore up the secondary with the signing of Kevin Johnson and the return of EJ Gaines. There's a lot of things to be looking forward to out of one Bills drive. On today's podcast, here is the agenda for topics. We are going to talk about a new stadium in Buffalo. This is something that has really been on the minds and in the thoughts of a lot of Bills fans. I came against the forefront when Commissioner Roger Goodell was back in Western New York. He was in Batavia for Jim Kelly's Celebrity Golf Tournament the beginning of June and made some key comments about the Bills stadium. So we'll talk about Buffalo and whether the stadium should remain where it is, or they should pursue a brand new outlet downtown Buffalo, maybe a lakefront opportunity for the Bills to build their stadium. So we will have a nice fun discussion about the Bills stadium and where that is moving forward. We will then look ahead to a very important underrated role on this team, and it's going to be leadership and who is going to provide the leadership for this team, especially now that Kyle Williams, the anchor of the defensive line, retired following the 2018 season. So we will give you a couple of candidates to watch who will step up and hopefully fill that leadership void moving forward into 2019. And then we're going to close off the podcast by taking a look at a couple of positional battles that we think are going to be important over the next couple of days with the mandatory mini camp here. The Bills have brought in a slew of players. There's positional battles up and down the depth chart. We will give you a couple that we have our eyes on here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. All of that coming up after a quick break.
Hey guys, Del Reed from 26shirts.com here. Just want to say thank you to everyone who's ever purchased a shirt from us before. We just recently passed $560,000 that we've donated from your purchases and your support. If you've never heard of 26shirts.com, head over there today, check out the shirts we're selling. It's all based on Buffalo sports themes, and for every shirt we sell, we donate up to $8 to a local family or charity in need. So it's a win-win. So check it out, 26shirts.com, and let's go Buffalo.
We are back here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. My name is John Boccacino. Let's take some time to talk about a hot button issue here in Western New York. It is the stadium, the Buffalo Bills Stadium. Currently, Buffalo has been in New Era Field for 45 seasons. It is one of the older facilities in the league. Debuted for the 1973 season as brand new Rich Stadium. It has then undergone several renovations to the facility, and currently Buffalo Bills have one of the older facilities in the league, and this is an issue that really is drawing a lot of topic across the league, especially when you look at the owners who are businessmen. They're out there trying to generate as much revenue as they can from their facilities, and they see these multi-billion-dollar palaces that Jerry Jones is building in Dallas, that Stan Kroenke is building in Los Angeles with the Rams' new stadium. And, you know, with the Bills, I don't know where our listeners lie in regards to what they would prefer the Buffalo Bills stadium to be, but I am a big fan of the way the Buffalo Bills currently have their stadium set up in Orchard Park. I think it allows for ease of parking. I think it also allows for tailgating, which is the benefits of having a stadium that is not downtown. Because if there were a downtown stadium, you can bet that the tailgating restrictions would be more closely regulated. And I know that a lot of people are in favor of stricter tailgating parameters, because there's folks that ruin it for the rest of us who just commit silly things on tailgates. You know, they drink too much, they cause trouble, they harass the opposing fan base. And those folks are always going to be a thorn in the side of the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League. But I still feel that the fans who are disruptive are far less in number than the good citizens, the ones who go out, who want to just have a great time. They want to bring their grill. They want to cook up some burgers and dogs and sausages and have a great time throwing back a couple of adult beverages before going in to watch their team play. Now, I think with Buffalo's current dynamics, we'll focus on the stadium and where the pros and cons lie. I still fully believe that you have to be aware of the economic base that you're trying to appeal to. And, you know, Buffalo Bills fans, we have one of the cheaper average ticket prices in the National Football League. I believe it's among the five most affordable football ticket offerings in the league. And that's because Buffalo is a blue collar market. You know, yes, the lakefront, there's been a lot of development and there's been a lot of a revitalization taking place in downtown Buffalo. But that doesn't mean that the Buffalo Bills can go out there and afford to outprice their fan base. And a lot of what happened with these private seat licenses, where teams will charge you a set amount just to have the right to purchase your season ticket, that's being done in a lot of stadiums across the league, including the Atlanta Falcons. Most recently had the PSLs that they've put in place there, along with the Los Angeles Chargers have implemented this as well. And when you do that, you know, the new stadium cost gets driven up dramatically. A lot of these new stadiums run in excess of $2 billion, which means that that's a lot of money from both, you know, taxpayers and out of the Pagula's pockets, and a lot of ways that they look to rectify that situation to make sure that the costs are keeping up with the revenue is that they will do these personal seat licenses that basically, again, guarantees the holder of the PSL the right to just buy the ticket. So it's a fee on top of what the normal game ticket would cost. And with that being said, I know we've kind of rambled a little bit here, but I feel like the Bills need to be, and they've hired the right, you know, there's consultants that are out there. There's people that are out there that the Pegulas are talking about and talking with, including CAA Icon is a sports consulting firm that's been hired to do a privately funded study to identify the best options for ownership, fans, and the community when it comes to the next steps for a stadium. I know and I hope that they're weighing all of these factors in: the cost of the ticket, the fan experience, the tailgating experience, and the economic indicators of the market of where the stadium is going to be built. And right now, if you ask me, the Buffalo Bills need to be careful not to outprice their product to the point where the average Joe fan cannot afford to go to a Buffalo Bills game. That's one of the nice parts about living in Western New York, is that Buffalo Bills games are affordable. I know that there's the thought out there that if you make the tickets more expensive, it would cut down on the hooliganism that takes place around the stadium, the over-imbibing of alcohol that takes place. And you know what? That's true. If the price doubled or tripled, you wouldn't get people who are solely, you know, focused on getting hammered in the parking lot because, you know, it's going to cost them a lot more money to make it into the stadium to cheer on their team. But I think you have to be careful because the Buffalo Bills have one of the few pro football experiences out there where the tailgating is akin to a college football atmosphere. And that means people are just out there having a great time. They're cooking, they're grilling, they're enjoying some beverages. And again, for the most part, people aren't harming anybody. It's the knuckleheads who get their videos, you know, posted on YouTube, body slamming through a table that's on fire, doing the suplex moves and all that. I like to believe that the majority of Bills fans are not the ones who are out there causing that kind of raucous each and every Sunday. And that's one of the big reasons I got into the Bills in the first place for being a season ticket holder, was the fun atmosphere of going out 8 times during the regular season and 2 times during the preseason to hang out with friends, have a couple of pops, and enjoy some good food before going in to watch, you know, my favorite team play each and every Sunday. And I just hope that the Bills do their homework when it comes to this stadium issue and don't overprice the fans out of this, because if you go for a brand new glitzy downtown stadium, parking is going to increase exponentially, the ticket price is going to increase exponentially, and all of this is being done to line the pockets of the billionaire owners. And, you know, hopefully, you know, when the lease with New Era Field ends in 2023, hopefully owner Tim and Kerry Pegula, they will do what's right by the fan base, and also they can make more money for themselves, but hopefully they do it by renovating the current stadium where it's located in Orchard Park, versus building a brand new stadium in downtown Buffalo. Goodell, from his point of it, wants to come out as the commissioner and wants to make as much money as he can. He's basically, you read between the lines, his public comments, he wants a new stadium in Buffalo to increase team revenue, which then leads to increased revenue across the league. And he can say all he wants to about the Bills being successful and continuing to be competitive in Buffalo. But the bottom line is he's responsible to the 32 owners and really wants to bring as much revenue in as possible for them. So I think the Bills can accomplish their stadium goals as currently constituted at One Bills Drive and at New Era Field without moving to a downtown stadium. But who knows? I might be in the minority. So feel free to leave your comments at the end of our story here on BuffaloRumblings.com. And look forward to reading all about where our fans think the Buffalo Bills should move with the stadium direction. Now, shifting gears, I want to talk about the leadership in the Buffalo Bills locker room. And, you know, Kyle Williams, his loss was huge on the field as a run stuffer, as somebody who really held together that defensive line. He was somebody who really was looked upon for leadership everywhere. He was somebody who, you know, really other players looked up to him. That was one of the selling points for a lot of guys who wanted to come to Buffalo, was to get a chance to play with Kyle Williams. And I know that he is not out of the equation. He's been mentoring and trying to work a little bit with Ed Oliver, his potential replacement on the defensive line. But there's a more tangible thing I want to talk about besides the on-field play, and it's the locker room leadership that Kyle Williams provided for the Buffalo Bills during his 13 seasons as a fifth-round pick of LSU. And Buffalo is lucky in that they have several in-house options to step up and really run with the leadership mantle that Kyle Williams established here in Buffalo. And it all starts with veteran linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. He is an outstanding citizen. He is somebody who gives back to his community. He's somebody who the young players, the Matt Milanos, the Tremaine Edmonds, look up to this guy and look up to Zoe's leadership in the locker room. And I think that he is a natural fit to really continue his captaincy for the team and step up the torch as a leader, as is Micah Hyde, the safety who has a charity softball game each and every year. He raised more than $40,000 for his youth foundation with the running of his softball tournament. He also makes visits and gives back to area elementary schools in and around Buffalo. And I think that's really important to find somebody who is civically minded and wants to give back to the community as well as being a leader in the locker room. And then again, another veteran, you know, we can talk about Steven Hauschka, who is a solid veteran leader in the locker room. You know, you can say what you will about the Bills, but they seem to bring in guys who have character as a forefront. You know, they're guys who care about this team and care about this community. And I think that in addition to Lorenzo Alexander and Micah Hyde, you can look to Lee Smith potentially as one of the new tight ends that came over and signed a 3-year deal this offseason. Lee Smith has proven himself to be an outstanding individual and community member who has good leadership traits. And on top of that, I think you can go a little bit younger too and maybe go with Tremaine Edmonds as a solid leadership candidate, somebody who wants to go out there and contribute and lead this team to great victories on the field and in the locker room. So I think that if you look at the leadership void, you can look at Lorenzo Alexander, Micah Hyde, Tremaine Edmonds, Lee Smith, and Steven Hauschka as guys who really will step up and carry that torch as leaders for the Buffalo Bills on and off the field. Well, folks, our last topic here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast, I want to talk about some positional battles to watch out for at the mandatory mini camp again, running June 11th to June 13th. I know a lot of folks are interested in the wide receiver battles, and that's clearly something to look out for in the pecking order to see, you know, Zay Jones and John Brown and Cole Beasley and Robert Foster and Duke Williams, who really establishes themselves. We think we know a bit of a hierarchical depth chart for the wide receivers out there. We think we know this. You know, you would figure that John Brown would be the true number one wide receiver on this team. He certainly has been paid or is being paid like a number one wide receiver. Robert Foster, I know people have their doubts about him. I still think he is going to be a solid contributor. He's a great deep threat. He had outstanding more than 20 yards per catch in 2018. He had 3 100-yard receiving games as an undrafted rookie free agent. I want to see what Zay Jones and Cole Beasley, how they're able to operate. You know, both Zay, whether he can continue the maturation that he showed after a turbulent offseason last year. He really led himself to having one of, you know, it was his best year as a Buffalo Bill. Can he take that maturation and continue his development on the field? And then also finally seeing, you know, Cole Beasley. I mean, he is someone who Dak Prescott gave a lot of credit to in Dallas as being someone who was able to create space for himself to operate well under the slot, to be a third down chain moving pass catcher, you know, who was able to establish good possession as a possession receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, can you see Cole Beasley really stepping up and establishing himself? What kind of rapport does he develop with Josh Allen? What kind of rapport does John Brown develop with Josh Allen? These are all questions for the receiving core that will have our first chance to get addressed during mandatory minicamp kicking off later on this week. I'm curious to see where the wide receiver battle, especially the battle for number two behind John Brown, happens to fall into place. On the offensive line, we knew there was going to be a ton of turnover on this roster. The Bills signed 6 offensive linemen. They drafted Mahler Cody Ford in the second round out of Oklahoma. And where things are going to shake out on the offensive line, especially at offensive tackle, what's going to happen now with Deion Dawkins? He did not do as well at the left side of things as fans would have expected in 2018. Does he stay on the left side? Does he shift to the right side? What happens to swingman Ty Inshecky, who really had a late career resurgence in his mid-30s, stepping up early to mid-30s, and Inshecky stepped up and established himself as a pretty reliable offensive tackle, so much so that he got a 2-year deal worth $10 million from the Buffalo Bills, the second most of guaranteed money of any offensive lineman on the team. Of course, Mitch Morse, the brand new center on the team, has the record for the highest contract, a 4-year deal worth $44.5 million. And I think most people, even though Morse is recovering from a surgery, I think most people expect Morse to be the anchor of the offensive line. But who is going to step up on the rest of the line positions at tackle and at guard? You got to figure Inshecky is in line for one of the starting tackle spots. And he's somebody who really has been able to hold his own, and he could prove himself to be incredibly valuable beyond the $10 million contract over 2 years that the Bills signed. And then, or Cody Ford, he might come in as a right tackle, or he might be able to line up and establish himself as more of a guard this year moving forward. So in that case, where does Deion Dawkins fit into the equation? You know, there's a lot of question marks on the offensive line. I think the Bills have a lot of depth. They brought in a lot of quality players. We just don't quite know who is going to slot in where. Could you see a battle between Dawkins and Inshecky for the other tackle position, with Ford having a good mandatory mini camp and training camp to establish himself as a starter? These are all things that are up in the air at the tackle position, but we'll have some opportunities to watch what new offensive line coach Bobby Johnson thinks about his rotations at the tackle position. And then at the guard spot as well, there's a lot of issues that are up in the air. Quinton Spain was signed this offseason away from Tennessee. He has 48 career NFL starts and has proven himself to be invaluable on the offensive line. Spencer Long signed a deal as well, coming over from the Jets. You would think that those two right now have the upper hand in starting at both left guard for Quinton Spain and right guard for Spencer Long, although Wyatt Teller could have something to say about this for starting at the left guard spot, because Wyatt Teller, even though he was a fifth-round pick last year, he did prove himself to be fairly reliable and competent when he was out there for the last 7 games of the 2018 season. And then John Feliciano came in as a depth from Oakland, and he has familiarity with Bobby Johnson back when they were working in Oakland from 2015 to 2017. Where does John Feliciano slot into the rotation on the offensive line? These are all questions that are good problems for the Bills to have, because at least they didn't sit back and get complacent with the lack of quality offensive linemen from last year. They went in there and Brandon Bean signed 6 new guys and drafted Cody Ford. So really, I think the days of Vlad Dukas are gone. I could easily see him getting cut to save the team some money. Russell Bodine, the backup center, he probably is a long shot to make the final roster as well. Just with the amount of guys that have been brought in competition-wise, it's exciting to see what the Bills will do. And again, we'll get our first real chance to see the hierarchy in mandatory minicamp for who's slotting in where on the offensive line. And then the last, there's 2 more positions I want to talk about for positional battles. One of them is the tight end spot, where we're talking about because of an injury. And Tyler Kroft, unfortunately, suffered a broken foot, the same broken foot injury that he suffered and cost him 11 games in 2018, has also plagued him now in 2019. So what that means is Kroft's status for the regular season is in doubt. When the Bills travel to New York to face the Jets on September 8th, will he be ready? Will Tyler Kroft be in the lineup? Will he have a chance to be on the field? It looks questionable at this time, with the recovery time being between 3 and 4 months, meaning there's a vacuum at the tight end spot for one of veteran Lee Smith or rookies Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney or incumbent Jason Kroom from last year to step up and establish themselves as a tight end who is worthy of starting. The Bills have very rarely paid much attention or gotten a lot of productivity out of the tight end spot. Charles Clay being the latest in a long line of players who did not pan out to expectations and did not match their contracts that they signed. So looking forward to seeing who will step up in the tight end rotation. Dawson Knox has a really good opportunity in front of him. And, you know, I know that the Bills gave up 2 fourth rounders to draft him and get him in the third round, the end of the third round. But I think Dawson Knox is a guy to really keep an eye on. He from what you read, he's made a really good impression so far, both at the rookie mini camp and at OTAs. He has good speed. He has great athleticism. And he's really seeming to get a good rapport established with Josh Allen, which is huge for a rookie to feel comfortable and have the trust that the quarterback will get him the ball and he will make big plays when he's given the opportunity. So I will look forward to seeing what shakes out with the tight end position. And then the last position I want to touch on quickly here is the cornerback position as well. Last year, we all know that Trey White is outstanding and he's clearly the number one cornerback on this team. But what I want to see is, does Levi Wallace continue to take that step forward? He ranked out, graded out as one of the best cornerbacks in the league last year, and he was undrafted. He was an undrafted rookie free agent. Can he carry over that momentum for last year, or will he take a step back? Well, if he does take a step back, the Bills have two solid veterans behind him who can step up and contribute in former Bill E.J. Gaines and former first-round pick Kevin Johnson, who came to Buffalo after four seasons in Houston. Now, Johnson has battled an injury basically for a lot of his career. He's been known as being injury-plagued, and he's somebody who there's an opportunity here. Can Kevin Johnson step up? Can he contribute? Can he emerge into the cornerback that the Bills hope to be opposite lockdown corner Trey White? Or is it going to be E.J. Gaines, who left after a really solid 2017 season with the Bills, went to Cleveland as a free agent, had more injuries, and underperformed with the Browns last year? I think there's some healthy competition at the cornerback position. I would like to see Kevin Johnson earn the number two starting job because I feel like his ceiling is higher. Again, a former first-round pick, he was highly regarded coming out of Wake Forest, but he has had injuries to deal with. But it seems like, again, from what you read, and there's a great article on cover1.net that was produced earlier on this week that talks about Kevin Johnson and what he can bring to the table. And McDermott has issued some quotes raving about Johnson's potential and saying that, you know, the guy who really could step up, you know, he's had some really good reps so far during the early part of the offseason. And, you know, there's definitely potential when it comes to Kevin Johnson. If Levi Wallace takes a step back, then there's a chance for Kevin Johnson to step up and grab this starting role as the number two cornerback on the Buffalo Bills. These are all topics that will get sorted out over time. But again, it's really fun to kind of sit back here and just speculate as we sit the day before mandatory minicamp begins in Buffalo. Well, folks, that will do it here for our Believe podcast. I know we kind of rambled on and hit on a bunch of fun topics, but if you have thoughts again for a future podcast topic, please make sure to leave a comment in the bottom of our story on buffalorumblings.com or find us on social media. My name is John Boccacino. We'll be back talking more Buffalo Bills football on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast.
Hey, Buffalo Bills fans, it's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at buffalorumblings.com. I wanted to let you know of another set of Bills podcasts that you should subscribe to on the Buffalo Rumblings channel on your favorite podcast app. You can find Buffalo Rumblings Q&A hosted by me, where we take fan questions and answer them. There's Circling the Wagons podcast, which is a lighthearted look at the Bills. And then the Blitzed Bills podcast, which takes a look at all over the NFL, but also relates it back to our Buffalo Bills. You can find it by searching for Buffalo Rumblings on any of your podcast apps or iTunes. We would love it if you would subscribe today and hear all of our great shows on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network.